1 Samuel chapter number 1, and for sake of reading, I'm going to start in verse number 5. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb, and her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. That's as far as I'll read for sake of reading. I'll be preaching through this chapter this morning. But what we're looking at is this woman by the name of Hannah. Her adversary, we did not read the first portion, was the other wife to her husband, this certain man named Elkanah. He had two wives. Hannah was one of them. The other wife, she had given Elkanah plenty of sons. But Hannah, her womb had been shut up by the Lord. And this other wife, this woman, she was her adversary. She was very mean to Hannah. She didn't pity Hannah. She provoked Hannah, is what the Bible said. And what I want to preach about as we get into this is Hannah, the woman who gave all to be a mother. The woman who gave all to be a mother. And again, as we look at Hannah's life, we see her introduced here in 1 Samuel. Again, she immediately has this adversary. She's not a mother yet, yet she has an adversary. And that's the way it was in the beginning. I mean, even with Eve, before she ever became a mother, she had an adversary. An adversary to stop her from being the person the Lord wanted her to be. And maybe Hannah didn't see what the Lord had planned for her. No doubt she could not see. She was a woman that went up year after year. They'd go up to sacrifice to the Lord, like good Hebrew people did. She would follow her husband, and she would pray. And she would sacrifice, and she would go back home. And she was praying that the Lord would open her womb. She wanted to be a good wife to her husband. When she's talking at first and praying, you see her, and her adversary had provoked her sore. Really made her sore. I mean, sore spiritually. The provoking, like a torture. They say, and you know, that the Chinese used to just let their enemies sit under, they were strapped under, actually, just a drip of water that continually
hit, same spot, provoke it. And after a time, that little drop of water felt like a brick hitting that one spot. Well, see, that's what she did continually. She provoked her sore. And that's the way the adversary does. He'll work on one spot that means a lot to you and I. And he'll deal with it. Are you listening? He'll provoke us with it. He'll get us to distrust in God's plan. I mean, listen, the greatest thing that Hannah could have done would have just to go on and trust the Lord, that the Lord knew her frame. And the Lord knew where she was, and her life was that what the Lord wanted it to be at the time. Amen? Listen, just because you may be lacking something that others have, that, don't let that become a sore spot in your life, feeling as though you're missing out because you don't have what someone else has. It may be that the Lord is going to give you something greater down the road. Right. And so the husband, when he saw that she had provoked her, and that she wept and did not eat, then said Elkanah in verse number 8, her husband, unto Hannah, why weepest thou? Now that tells me one thing. This husband was not watching what was going on in his home very much. Or he would have known that this other woman had been provoking her. And he could have stopped it. And so a little something there to the husbands on Mother's Day. Amen. Keep your eyes open to what's going on in the life of your wife. Amen. And he said, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Now, he knew enough that he could see that she had finally got to a place of heavy grieving. She was grieving. Her heart was grieving. And he said this, and he was spot on. He knew it had to be because she didn't have a child. He said, am I not better to thee than 10 sons? And that tells me something. Now, I don't know that he had given the other wife 10 sons. Maybe she had 9 or 8 or 7. I'm not sure exactly. But he said, am I not better to thee than 10 sons? What he was trying to say is, I'm good to you, Hannah. But listen, regardless of what he felt he could be, he could not be a son to her, could not be a child to her. And we're not supposed to be, amen? Some men may think they're still a baby in the house, amen? But that's your wife, not your mom, amen? That's right. And so he said, am I not better than thee than 10 sons? I've done a lot for you, Hannah, but she was still grieving for a child, grieving for a man child. So Hannah arose after that they had eaten in Shiloh and after that they had drunk, but she didn't drink. And Eli the priest sat upon the seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, look at it, and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid. See, when she prayed, she had prayed this before. She said, God, don't forget me. God, don't forget me. And sometimes that's exactly what we do when we pray and we feel like God's not given us what we've desired or what we've asked. Has God forgotten about me? Is God ever going to answer my prayer? Is God going to ever do that one thing that I have earnestly prayed for? And so being in bitterness of soul, she is praying this way. We pray sometimes in certain ways when we are emotional in heart. Ways that maybe we shouldn't pray. We should not charge the Lord. Certainly never charge the Lord. Amen? He's not one to be charged. He charges us, but we are not one to charge the Lord. We may ask the Lord. We may petition the Lord, but we should not charge the Lord. And so she's weeping sore, and she begin to vow a vow. Now, I can't go down through here like I would like to, but I want to get to some of the points. The first thing that we saw, her adversary provoked her continually. And then she is now fasting in verse 7, wept and prayed year by year with no answer. Verse 8, her husband sought to comfort her in the trial of her weeping. Verse 10 and 11, she has wept and was bitter in soul, now making a vow and praying through. She is desperate. She is desperate in prayer. This is the woman who is willing to give all to become a mother. Think of what it means, it must mean to her to be a mother. And really what it should mean to be a mother. I mean, I thought about this morning. I don't have these things written. I've got some things written down. But some of these things I'm talking to you about right now, I don't have written down. But I thought about this morning. I've always heard, and I don't doubt it one bit, that a woman comes as close to death as she ever will becoming a mother. In childbirth. I don't doubt that a bit. The Lord, when He gave the curse to Adam and Eve and the serpent there in the beginning, He told her that her burden, that burden of childbearing, you remember? I mean, that was a great burden that the Lord gave unto the woman. And no doubt she does. I mean, to become a mother, the mother of a child, to be able to give life. Listen, men, something that you and I cannot do without her. Amen? Neither can she without us. But they are the ones that bear that burden. They are the ones that all of creation is happening in their womb. Are you listening to me? And so here she is weeping, becoming desperate to be a mother. Verse 12 through 14, she prayed so long and was weeping so bitterly that the high priest accused her of being drunk. Look at it. It came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. You know what that tells me? This woman was in deep prayer. And to the point, listen, she didn't care if anybody else heard her. She wanted the Lord to hear the burden of her heart. Her lips were moving, but there was nothing coming out. And Eli thought, she's drunk. She's just mumbling down there. She didn't listen. Many times people pray And I pray out loud. I think the Lord tells us to cry loud and pray at times. But there are there are people that pray that want people to hear them pray. She didn't care if anybody heard her pray. She was praying from her heart unto the Lord. That's who she wanted to hear. And so he accused her of being drunk. And then Hannah convinced the priest of her desire in verse 15 through 18. Look at 15. And Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord." A woman doing that to become a mother. She has poured out her soul before the Lord. Hey, have you ever prayed? Have you prayed for your child like that before they ever even came? She's prayed that way before a child is ever even given. She is pouring her soul out before the Lord for a child. Praying for this child. Listen, when you pray for your children that way, then your children mean a lot more to you than people who don't pray. I believe that. I really believe that. You say, why? Well, people that don't pray, they don't really love, they won't chastise their kids. And the Bible says if you don't chasten them, you don't love them. You don't bring them up in the fear of the Lord, you don't love them. Person that doesn't pray, they're certainly not bringing them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Many of them, they just turn them loose to the world. I'm convinced. Listen, people that pray for their children, love their children as much as anybody does. I'm not saying you can't love your children if you don't pray, but I am saying it's a different kind of love. Amen. It's a different kind of love. It's a godly love, the right kind of love that God said. Listen, sometimes we say, you know, we love our children so much, then do with them what the Lord said to do with them. If you really love them that much, do with them what the Lord said do with them. And forget everything else. So she's pouring out her soul before the Lord. Verse 16, "Count not thine handmaid for the daughter of Belial." I'm not one of those drunken Belial worshipers. "For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace." He saw she was a daughter of Israel, not a daughter of Belial, not some drunken woman that stooped her way over to the temple. And he told her to go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Look what she... Look in verse 18, "And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad." Now, I'll tell you what, that tells me one thing. She had faith that it was going to happen. She had faith in what she had prayed. Because before, she could not eat. She had faith, so she wept no more. It took the tears from her. Why weep when you know God's answered your prayer? Amen? Why fast anymore when you know God said, "I'll answer. I will answer." Amen? So she had faith. He blessed her, and she had faith. She got assurance in praying. Amen? She got an answer in praying. That's what praying is for. To get assurance. To get an answer. Not just to petition, but to get assurance and to get an answer. And so in verse 19-20, her prayer was heard, answered, and she conceived and bore a son and called him Samuel. she rose up in the morning, verse 19, early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house, to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. First time the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah conceived that she bare a son. 9 months later, what about that? Called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. That's what his name means. Ask of God. See, she said, give me a man child. She has asked of God for him. And so she calls him Samuel. That last part, if you, when you see these names that have L in it, that means God. And it's talking something that they did with God or prayed to God or that God has done for them. Many names given. And Samuel, one of them, asked of God. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up. For she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. Then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. She wasn't holding back on her vow. She wanted to at least have him weaned. Samuel was little when he went into temple. Could you imagine being a mother, and I don't know exactly how old he was, 3, 4 at the most, when she took him and gave him to the Lord? Why would she do that? Because she told the Lord she would do that. A mother that gives her children to the Lord, are you listening to me? Is not one to be frowned upon. She stayed home till he was weaned, verse 21 through 28. And then chapter 2, verse 1 through 10, read Hannah's praise. Her song of praise. You read that when you get home, how she praises the Lord. Now listen, I want to give you just a few things. Can you trust God with your children? Hannah trusted God with Samuel. And you know why? Because Hannah trusted God with herself. If you can trust God with your life, then you can trust God with your children's lives. How can I trust God with my children's lives if I can't even trust God with my life? Mothers, trust God with your life and trust your children's lives in the hands of God. Amen? Can you lead your children to worship God? These questions are just, they come right back to us. If we can worship God, then we can lead them to worship God. Hannah was in bitterness of tears and weeping and praying and fasting, but there was a time came when Hannah worshiped the Lord. She worshiped the Lord. Listen, there wasn't a prophet as big as Samuel anywhere when Samuel became a prophet. Did more to turn the children of Israel to God probably as much than any prophet when he was alive. We worship God. We can teach our kids to worship God. If you can give your children to do mighty things for God like Samuel. Can you do that? I mean, give your children to the Lord? Only if you give yourself to the Lord first. She had to give herself to the Lord. She laid herself out before the Lord there at the temple, praying so deeply that only her lips were moving. Her heart was heavy and burdened, giving herself to the Lord, not to other things, but to the Lord. Then she can give Samuel to the Lord. This woman is known as making one of the greatest faith promises that's ever been made. Lord, I don't have a man child. If you give me a man child, I'll lend him to you all the days of his life. That's what a faith promise is. Something you do not have in your life. And you say, God, if you give it to me, I'll give it back to you. That's what a faith promise is. That's how we give to missions. It's the giving of grace. Grace giving. Faith promise giving. You can certainly give out of your abundance. Certainly we should give out of our abundance. But then go above that. Pray and say, God, give me something I do not have that I can give it back to you. Watch the Lord do great and mighty things. If you can give yourself to God to do great things for God, then you can give your child. There's a lot of people take their kids and they want to have a dedication service and give them to the Lord. And I just wonder if they realize really what they're doing. Because a lot of them, I don't see them really giving their children to the Lord after that. Church after church after church after church, place after place after place. Listen, when we give something to the Lord takes that seriously. And you shouldn't be afraid. She was not afraid to give all to become a mother. To know what it is to give everything and then to be a mother. God blessed that mother abundantly with so many other children. And of course she could see Samuel. She knew where Samuel was. But that's where his life was. That's where his life was spent. God, if you just give him to me for a little time, I'll give him to you for the rest of his life. Some people may say, I can't make such a commitment, preacher. You could if you was as desperate as Hannah. Mom, get desperate for your children. Mothers, be desperate for your children to serve the Lord. Be the mother like Hannah was. Be willing to give everything. I'm not talking about giving them all the world. I'm talking about you give everything to give them the Lord. You can give them the whole world and you won't give them God. There's a lot of, listen, trying to be good parents. I knew a couple I'm thinking of right now back over in another county at another time, and outwardly, you'd think they wasn't nothing that they didn't do for their kids or give them. But they just didn't. They couldn't serve God and be that way. They thought all of that was more important. To give them, you know, higher education, scholarships, and, you know, all this. That was more important. Those things are good, but I'm going to tell you something. The Lord is the absolutely most important thing you could ever give to your children. Or one that you could give your children to. Amen. Bless your heart. Thank you for being here this morning. Let's all stand.